Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you, as always, by InsideThePenguins.com, a proud affiliate of the Hockey News. I'm your host, Nick Berlansky, joined, as always, by Nick Horwat and the Pittsburgh Penguins. They're 2-3-0 on the young season, not the best start, especially considering they've played five teams that did not make the postseason last year, although the Red Wings look like they're pretty destined for that this season, but again, it's early, and that's the thing with the Pittsburgh Penguins. We are exactly 2 weeks in to the 2023-24 season, so let's give some reactions about some things we haven't talked too much about. We're going to start with the defense. We're going to follow that up with a little bit of a lineup switch on the first power play by Mike Sullivan, talk some Ricard Raquel and what we've thought of him through the first 2 weeks, and then we'll get a vibe from the locker room. Horwat's been in there pretty much all season long. We'll get a vibe for how the locker room feels in our third segment, but let's start it off with the Penguins defense. The best way I can describe them is mercurial, because they're stable until they're not, and when they're not, they're vastly unstable. So, you know, I'm not a scientist. To my understanding, in a Google search before this episode, that's what I believe mercury to be like. But Horwat, when you look at this defense, the numbers are fairly impressive, actually, through five games. Fourth in the NHL in expected goals percentage. Fifth in the NHL in expected goals allowed per 60. Eighth in the NHL in shots against per game. With the good numbers, do you think that the eye test matches up with that, or do you think that there's still some issues with this Penguins defense that aren't encapsulated by those stats?
I would say, as I'm thinking a little bit more about it sitting here, I would say it does kind of match up, because you're going to get those expected goals. You're going to get those from Erik Karlsson immediately. It's an immediate bump in that sort of statistic. The offense that he can bring, added on to what Letang has already done with the team here, the offense is going to be abundance, and it's going to just speak for itself. That three-point game in Detroit, for Karlsson kind of amplified that a little bit as well. You're going to get that sense of offense from this defense. And it also really helps that those defensive numbers are on the rise because of Erik Karlsson's line mate in Marcus Pettersson having a great year defensively. Ryan Graves is still coming into his own. And Chris Letang has done a fairly good job on the defensive side of the puck. Were all those numbers just at 5-on-5?
Yes, they were all at 5-on-5. Sorry.
Okay, because I was going to bring up Chris Letang on the penalty kill, but that doesn't mean anything to this conversation. Another aspect of how he is becoming a more defensive defenseman as well. And Karlsson is carrying that load offensively, because we know he's not carrying load defensively, although he does look pretty decent on the defensive side of things, for what it's worth. A couple of good puck plays here and there. And all of this can be added up in just the first two lines. This matches pretty well. I'd say that third line is where that real volatility, it's where it lives. It's where it stays. It's Chad Ruedel not having a good start to this season. And, well, what was P.O. Joseph? I thought being fine. Maybe I missed something. I'm getting swapped out for the NHL debut of Ryan Jay, who was, okay, fine. You know, welcome to the NHL as a third-line defenseman.
He was exactly what you expect Ryan Shea to be, down to the fact that he got walked by Kasperi Kapanen on a rush. But the defense as a whole, I think those numbers are good, and they tell part of the story, and part of the story is that the Pittsburgh Penguins' best defense, as we talked about throughout the majority of the offense or the offseason, is going to be keeping the puck in the other team's zone, puck possession, making sure the other team doesn't get as many opportunities, and I think they've done a good job at that, and I think that goes hand-in-hand with the fact that this is a team that likes to play in the offensive zone, that's done a good job of controlling possession, controlling the opportunities when it comes to quantity. Quality, that's another story. And some of the stupid mistakes is what's hampering this team. And I think that, while being alarming on one hand, is still something that you look at and say, okay, it's an issue. It's something that's a little scary, but it's something that it's mental. You can coach that out of them. You can try to figure out, hey, can you make the smart play? Because if they make the smart play, that takes away a lot of these mistakes. That gets that alarming meter to go down a little bit more. Because when you look at this team, while they have all those statistics in their favor, they're 23rd in giveaways. And that's one of the biggest things that I've noticed about this defense is getting that first pass out. There's a lot of times, or getting clears even, there's a lot of times where they make a wrong play, they make a wrong decision, it's a turnover, and it's a grade A opportunity for the opposition. There were a lot of tap-in goals last week on the road in Detroit and in St. Louis, and part of that is their rush defense, which I thought was due in part to the fact that the offense wasn't getting back, the defense was pinching at the inopportune times, but another part of that was the fact that they give the puck away a little bit too much.
Yeah, it's those giveaway numbers aren't ideal, especially when you are supposed to be this good puck moving team from the blue line, right? It's supposed to be the Erik Karlsson show where he can just dish it wherever, and he has been. He's made impossible passes possible. He's had a number of really good, a couple of good breakouts, some really good, finding the open areas for passes. Chris Letang's also always been really good at that. But those giveaway numbers, you can't have that, especially whenever, if it's a giveaway coming from Karlsson or Letang, well, immediately you're most likely down a defenseman. Oh, and I meant to say, if it's a giveaway happening from Graves and Patterson, sorry. Because if they happen to give one away, well, you're stuck with Karlsson or Letang playing defense, which they're good at, but it's not ideal. And also, I said this earlier in the season, Karlsson's going to make a ton of forwards play defense.
Yeah.
If Karlsson's creating a giveaway while he's pinching, it's already a scary moment. So the giveaways do need to be lowered, especially if Karlsson's going to continue playing like that, and especially if Letang will maintain his style of game as well.
I'm glad you mentioned Ryan Graves, because that's one player that, even before the Penguins signed him, I was pounded on the table. Hey, you need to bring in Ryan Graves. That's the perfect replacement for Brian Dumoulin. That brings it back to like Brian Dumoulin of 2015, 2016, 2017. He has not been that so far this season. In the first game, I thought there were a lot of people that were on his case a little bit unjustly. There were a couple mistakes, but again, I was saying that part of that is, it's the first time he's playing in game action with Chris Letang. And another part of that was that, I thought he played pretty decent in that first game. A lot of people disagreed with me, and then going forward, I've just noticed that it's getting worse and worse and worse. Part of it is those giveaways, and here's the thing with Ryan Graves. They paid him a lot of money for a lot of years to be a stabilizing force alongside Chris Letang. When you're giving the puck away, you're completely missing the point of what you were brought here to do. Get sure-handed passes out of the defensive zone and make sure that things are started on the right foot. When it comes to every time the puck touches your stick, you need to be able to trust that you're going to make the right play, that you're going to make the smart play. That hasn't been the case over the last couple of games. Ryan Graves, I'm fairly certain, I'd have to look at it, and I will look it up right now, but I'm fairly certain probably leads the team in giveaways at this point, because he is really seemingly always done it whenever he has the puck. Like more so than most is when I'm noticing it with Ryan Graves. You're hoping that he starts to turn things around, because you can definitely say that he has the physical tools to play in that position, to be that top pairing defenseman, that stabilizing force for Letang. He just needs to make the easy plays, and he hasn't been doing that so far this season.
Yeah, and that's one of the stats you don't want to lead the team in. It's one of those smaller stats you don't notice too much, and it doesn't necessarily have you know, an overall effect on the game or on your season. It's kind of like the plus minus stat, whereas if it is egregious, you do have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what leading the team in giveaways would look like when it's, you know, if it's the plus minus thing, you win the green jacket. What do you win if you're leading the team in giveaways? Just who throws a lot of interceptions in football? I don't know. Justin Herbert, we had this conversation before we started.
Dak Prescott does.
Dak Prescott throws a lot. We thought Kirk Cousins threw a lot until last night.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the giveaway stat here. I always forget exactly what website would be good for that, and I can't find it.
It's a good question.
Not on Natural Stat. It's not on Natural Stat Trick. It's not on Penguins website, and not on Hockey Reference. So, you know, we'll have to look that up and amend that and put it in the comment section afterwards. But I was very curious after I brought that up that who knows who leads the team in giveaways, but it feels like it's probably Ryan Graves. But what have you thought of Ryan Graves to start this season?
You know, aside from those giveaways, he's looked good. I mean, this is a player that, you know, like you described, is supposed to immediately step in and be that Brian Dumoulin replacement, but also be younger and better. Maybe a little cheaper. I can't remember Brian Dumoulin's exact contract.
He was 4.1.
Ooh. All right. Well, you know, so be it. But no, he's already looked really good. He's looking right at home, honestly. It's tough learning a new system on the fly. It's tough learning a new system whenever Chris Letang is your line mate, but then also sometimes Erik Karlsson is your line mate, because there is a little bit of shuffling happening in terms of the defensive pairings, and it's getting a little wonky. But he's playing some time with both the guys. He's still, you know, getting meshed in with everything, and he's just looked pretty good. I think giveaways are bound to happen, but as long as he's able to lower those at the end of the day, I think should be okay. I'm not totally mad at it. I've liked his game so far, though.
Yeah, like I said, I think he has the tools to play in that position. I think that he just needs to back it up at this point. And by the way, I did find giveaways. It is on Natural Stat Trick, okay. Just under, not on ice, but under individual statistics. Ryan Graves does lead the Pittsburgh Penguins at 5-on-5 with 8 giveaways through 5 games on the season. Second place is Sidney Crosby with 5, and Brian Rust with 4 is in third place. So 8 giveaways for Ryan Graves on the season, leading the Pittsburgh Penguins. I knew it felt right, but statistically, according to Natural Stat Trick, it is right.
Yeah, I was also trying to flip through the NHL media site, and maybe they'd have it somewhere, but I'm still digging, but at least you found it before I could.
Yeah, I mean, regardless, I mean, you look at this defense as a whole, and I think that's kind of a microcosm of it. It's the fact that, in general, they're playing decently defensively, but the problem is whenever they're giving up opportunities, they're giving them up as tap-in goals. They're giving them up as you saw on Saturday, and Mike Sullivan I blew a gasket multiple times. 2-on-1s, 3-on-2s, opportunities where they just lose a forward in the defensive zone. They just need to play smarter hockey, and they need to play, you know, just they need to think a little bit more about the defensive zone, because we knew coming into the season that this is a team that is going to really focus a lot more on the offensive end of things, especially with Erik Karlsson coming in. And they need to focus a little bit more on making the right play in the defensive zone, because a lot of these errors are unforced, and you just cannot have that if you expect to be a team that is going to be able to make it to the playoffs and hopefully make a run. I mean, that's the point of this entire thing, is to make a run in the playoffs, and you can't do that when you're turning the puck over in your own zone this many times.
Yeah, that's the point of making the run. That's why we brought in Erik Karlsson. It's why we found Kyle Dubas. It's why the Penguins are really frustrated with these with these early games, with these early inconsistencies and some of the old habits rearing their ugly head.
Yeah, so we'll see how the defense performs, but through 2 weeks, I think statistically it looks fine in most areas, but you just need to back it up by making the smart plays. And if you do that, combine that with the other things that they've done right, you might have a team that could finish, you know, amongst the tops in defensive hockey. And that's something we know Mike Sullivan definitely wants to see. But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Sullivan was switching some things around at practice on Monday afternoon. We'll talk about what switches and what changes you can expect tonight against the Dallas Stars. We'll be right back.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you as always by InsideThePenguins.com. I'm Nick Berlansky, that's Nick Horwat. Let's talk a little bit about practice yesterday. Horwat, you were there. The Pittsburgh Penguins, while keeping the same forward lines and defense pairs in practice, not switching anything from Saturday, which you could have kind of expected, even though the team didn't show up as a whole, you could honestly expect that Mike Sullivan's not going to make a lineup change after just changing it before the previous game. But he does make one change, and that is to the top power play unit. Brian Rust draws in, Ricard Raquel drops down to the second power play unit, aka the Mike Sullivan special. He did that so many times last year, flip-flopping those guys on the first power play unit, but trying to ride the hot hand here. Russ has 4 goals in his first 5 games of the season. What did you think of this adjustment, and do you think that it's going to help the power play get on track?
I do think it will, and I like this adjustment. Before we even really dive into it, I saw, you know, a couple people saying that Mike Sullivan said he was going to change things. I listened back to that post-game press conference. Unless I am completely missing it, he didn't say anywhere he was going to make changes. He was just really upset with how things went. So I wasn't expecting there to be changes like everyone was. There definitely needed to be some, and this could be a good one. Because this could be a spark plug for waking up the power play. Because let's be honest here, while the top lines have been, and by the top lines, I mean the regular 5-on-5 groups, have been fair to start the season, this power play hasn't been good at all. They've only scored in one game. It was 2 goals from Sidney Crosby against the Capitals. And other than that, they've had 13 opportunities, and nothing's come of it. Quite a few of them have come without them really taking a shot. Without finding the net, Brian Rust should add a threat of shooting, should definitely add a threat of we're going to put more pucks on net. And what Mike Sullivan really liked and what Brian Rust commented on is that that puck retrieval game, winning the 50-50 battles, getting pucks around to the future Hall of Famers that he's playing with in this situation. It should be a new look to things, and maybe Brian Rust won't be shooting as much, but he should at least, I can't think of the word, but he should implore the other guys to shoot a little more, give them open spaces, force the opposition to get out of position in certain areas. I'm pretty much just quoting Mike Sullivan at this point. Mike Sullivan said about it, that's exactly what's going to happen. He's going to force the opposition to make decisions, win those 50-50 puck battles, and then open things up for everyone else that he's playing with.
Yeah, when you do a scouting report on the Pittsburgh Penguins right now, and we'll get to Ricard Raquel, you look at this team and you say, okay, Ricard Raquel hasn't scored a goal. Brian Rust has 4 goals in 5 games. You're going to give a little bit more respect to the guy that's riding the hot hand if he's out there on the ice, and that's what opposing teams are going to do. Not to mention the fact that, you know, when you think about those two players, which one do you think of as the sniper? It's Brian Rust. So, you know, there's a little bit more respect that goes into that. And of course, you guys mentioned, you guys meaning you and Mike Sullivan both mentioned the puck retrieval aspect, which is huge as well. But for a team that, and a power play that we had said before the season could be top 10, could be top 5, they're 19th in the NHL 2 weeks in, and it's at 15%. And you mentioned it. They only scored in one of their 5 games so far. They did score 2, but the big thing was there was only one other game where I really felt like the power play was dangerous, and I think it was the following game. Was it the following game? No, it was the game against the Detroit Red Wings in the first period, because they got 3 opportunities in the first period. They didn't score on any of those opportunities, but they also only played 2 minutes and 30 seconds of power play time because there were so many penalties called in that first period. There were so many power plays that were shortened in that first period. I thought they looked good there, but, you know, other than that game and the Washington game, the other three, they haven't looked good. And when they don't look good, they look horrible. And that's the problem, is you need to be able to find some consistency. And I know Sullivan mentioned that a couple times yesterday, being the key is, you know, you need to find that consistency. It's a long season. You can't just play really well one game and then suck for two. So the Pittsburgh Penguins, that needs to be applied throughout their entire roster, throughout their entire lineup, and in special teams as well. So I like the move. I think it's something that, you know, you can't be stuck in the mud with your decision making. I like the fact that Mike Sullivan has shown five games into the season to want to make changes. So has Kyle Dubas. But at some point, you need to start seeing results. And it's not all about making changes for change's sake. And I understand why he's keeping the roster the same way when it comes to 5-on-5, the forward lines and the defense pairs, because as he mentioned it on Monday, you can't just keep making changes. That's not giving your players enough time to gel and figure things out and get back on the right foot, because that just keeps them off balance. You need to find that balance. You need to find that stability, and you need to find that through line that you can continue to play with confidence through each and every game.
Yeah, it's a matter of being patient with the players, but there are certain areas that you are able to, you know, make these changes. And I mean, for what it's worth, yeah, the 5-on-5 lines, you're not exactly going to shuffle into a blender right away. You're going to give them a little extra time because they play a lot more together. They probably have something that we're just not seeing. But when it comes to the power play, they play way less, you know, they play way less time together. They're able to, they don't have the same amount of chemistry, so you're able to kind of just toss names out there and hope for the best. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we already saw that, you know, pretty much this power play has already kind of seen a complete reshuffle, if you really think about it, because the first time they started practicing in a camp, it was Carlson and Letang still sharing a blue line with Malkin, Crosby, and Raquel. As the season got closer, pulled Letang off the first unit for Raquel still, but Gensel got in there now. So There's already been a couple of changes with the power play. This is just another one, to tack on. And this one should prove to be at least a little more successful. And I know Ricard Raquel led the team in power play goals last year, but they were mostly through those tap-ins, I believe. And that should be a good use for the second pairing, or for the second unit. That really should be, because I don't know if that line's if that unit's really, you know, getting opportunities, because it seems like the first unit is out there for a whole minute 45 sometimes. Mm-hmm. But you know, when they're out there, Crystal Tang's going to try and shoot it, and there's an open opportunity.
Yeah, I'm not at all worried really about the second power play unit, because if things are going well, your second power play unit doesn't get on the ice. So exactly, you're hoping that your first power play unit, you know, performs, and Brian Rust, we'll see if that works. But here's the thing. They have so many talented players that you're going to switch players out, because there's not really that much of a drop-off. Like, what is the drop-off between Raquel and Rust? Practically nothing. Like, it is pretty much, you know, same talent level, different skill set. And you have that with Chris Letang. You have that with Riley Smith. You have a lot of options here. So it would be silly to sit there, watch it not work, and then not make the change. So this is the first change that he's made on the power play. He made changes to the forward lineup on Saturday. Didn't make them after Saturday's abysmal game, but where are you going to make them? The third line looked good. You're not going to take anybody off the top six, and you're not going to move anybody up from the bottom six, and they don't have any extra forwards. So there's no real lineup changes to make unless they're going to put John Ludvig in, but you know, Ryan Shea, other than being walked, I thought he was decent. Chad Ruweedle has played how Chad Ruweedle has played throughout most of the season. So you got to give it another shot. I'm interested to see what goes on. But you mentioned Ricard Raquel, and we've kind of flippantly mentioned him a couple times throughout this segment. Are you worried at all about Raquel? He gets demoted off the first power play unit. He has only one assist in the first five games so far this season. So are you worried about, you know, Ricard Raquel's performance up to this point of the year?
I don't think I am yet. This is one of those players that you would like to see find a groove relatively soon, especially considering the amount of talk we give him, the amount of praise we give him for being a guy who can play at a successful rate anywhere in the lineup, basically. Just not seeing that yet with the second line here. Maybe the chemistry that Malkin and Smith definitely still have can eventually start rubbing off, and it's those two having such a good partnership so far that makes me confident in the numbers that could still be to come for Ricard Raquel. Eventually, he'll have to, leech some points off of those guys, right? That's kind of the idea that we're getting with Marcus Patterson playing with Erik Karlsson here. Eventually, Marcus Patterson's points will see an added boost just because of his surroundings. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a matter of time before Raquel sees that same sort of thing with Malkin and Smith. So I'm not super worried yet. If it doesn't pick up, in the next couple of games, though, then maybe it is time to figure something out. And I don't know what that figure something out could be, but for now, I'm not all that worried about it.
Yeah, I'm not overly concerned with them either. You mentioned, obviously, that line playing with Malkin and Riley Smith, and the line is entirely different this year. The vibe is entirely different. The goal is entirely different, and the way they get to scoring goals is entirely different this year, because last season, it was very cycle-intensive. It was very, Jason Zucker in front of the net trying to create havoc and then trying to put away, rebound goals. Now it's a lot more rush offense for these guys, and that is because of Riley Smith. But also, they're always on the ice with one of Letang or Karlsson. You think that player is not going to be involved in the play? And there's four guys there, only 3 points to go around whenever they score a goal. And I know that the Malkin line has been extremely good. At least Malkin and Riley Smith have been extremely good so far this year. And it's kind of weird to see, Ricard Raquel sitting there with only one assist on the season. But I think it's because the line is different. You have to play it differently this year than he would have last year with Jason Zucker on that left side. And I think that's going to take some getting used to for Ricard Raquel. And I think one way to get him to kind of explode a little bit more offensively, get on the score sheet a little bit more often, is to make that switch with him and Brian Rust. And, the first line hasn't been bad, neither has the second line. The top six has been very good for the Pittsburgh Penguins for the most part this season. But I think we can all agree that Ricard Raquel plays better and has more chemistry with Sidney Crosby and Jake Guentzel. He fits better with Sidney Crosby and Jake Guentzel. And Brian Rust has shown that he can play. He's not going to lose a step if he's playing with Malkin and Riley Smith. And I also just think that bringing a guy like Rust in there, who's going to go to the net front a little bit more often than a guy like Ricard Raquel, but still has that ability to score off the rush and be potent on the rush, I think that would be good. That's what I'd like to see. I know it might not happen. And listen, the top six has not been bad, so why change it if it's not broken? But I think that would be something that could get Ricard Raquel going if that becomes a worry for the Pittsburgh Penguins. I don't think they're very worried about it, though. You look at last season, Ricard Raquel had 2 goals in the first 5 games, no assists on 19 shots. This year, he has 1 assist on 15 shots. Last year, he finished with 28 goals and 60 points. If he comes near that again with a similar start, he hasn't scored a goal, but he has 1 point versus 2 last year in the first 5 games, then you're not as worried. Now, the one thing that you noticed last year, first game of the season, he had 7 shots on goal. Has he had that performance this year? Yes, he had 7 shots on goal against the Detroit Red Wings. So you need to see him continuing to take his opportunities when he gets it. That's what I was going to be worried about if I would have looked at his stat sheet and saw that he wasn't taking those opportunities. He wasn't getting shots on goal because of playing with Malkin and playing with Riley Smith, who demand their own shots. But he's still firing pucks on net, so eventually you have to imagine that he's going to break through. So I'm not very concerned about Ricard Raquel because, one, he's an ultra-talented guy, and two, he's still trying to get his opportunities. It doesn't seem like he's shying away because of the chemistry that the other two have on his line. So I think eventually he's going to break through. Does it hurt that he's not on the first power play unit? Yes, because he scored a lot of power play points last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that his overall performance has been fine, and I think eventually the scoring will come.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time. I think that line will eventually start benefiting him if they need to move him up, which weird to think that hey, you need a boost, or you're not performing well. You're going to the first line. It sounds backwards, but with the player that it is, it makes sense. And that's the kind of chemistry that could work out as well. So I think it's a win-win situation. Maybe not a win-win, but I think it's a pretty solid situation for Ricard Raquel. He's got either time to still feed off of his current line mates, or find a promotion somewhere and feed off of his former line mates that he already knows he plays really well with. So
yeah,
I think it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, we'll definitely see it at some point. There's no way that you go throughout the entire season you don't see Ricard Raquel get extended time with Crosby's line eventually. But You know, I understand why not changing it right now, because Brian Rust has 4 goals in 5 games. You're really going to move anything with that line? I mean, Crosby has, what, 3 goals in 5 games, but he has a point a game, I'm pretty sure, so far. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not like the line isn't performing. Jake Gensel had 6 points in the first however many games. He didn't score, I don't believe, on Saturday. No, he didn't score on Saturday. Neither did Crosby. It was all Malkin, Letang, and then the third line. But regardless, it's 5 games into the season. You can't just switch things around because you're 2-3, although it's not a good start. You expected more, especially with all the changes made in the offseason. But how did that affect the locker room, Horwat? That's what we're going to ask and discuss a little bit right after this break. Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. Horwat mentioned a little bit about baseball and football earlier. Who are you rooting for? We saw the Texas Rangers advance to the World Series. We see, I believe, Game 7 coming up later tonight between the Phillies and Diamondbacks. Who do you want to see? Because neither of us are baseball experts, so I'm not going to give a prediction. You can. I have no idea. But who do you want to see to win the World Series?
Oh, to win? I don't know who I want to see win, just because I like that Texas is in already. I've always liked the Rangers. I like this team that they have now, especially. I mean, also consider the fact they had 102 losses 2 seasons ago. A certain team that wears black and gold should take some notes and figure out some sort of path to a World Series, because it's very possible to do it. Nope. But they refuse.
Not for the Pirates.
It's not that hard, though. I mean, it is hard to reach the World Series, but it's not that hard to attempt to try and do that. That being said, on the National League side, though, honestly, I'm fine with either the Diamondbacks or the Phillies making it. The only reason why I say the Phillies is because that lineup is so good, and I enjoy watching them play baseball, that especially batting. Kyle Schwarber's the greatest stat line I've ever seen from this past regular season. Bryce Harper's a ton of fun. And just the Diamondbacks, I like seeing the smaller teams make it. So that would just be their story for them. I don't know anything about the team otherwise. So for the Astros are out. Anyone else in the NL East, North, whichever one the Pirates are in, I don't even remember, didn't make it. So I'm happy with whatever the turnout is. Damn it, the city of Philadelphia, though.
Listen, I'm not a huge fan of Philadelphia sports, but if it's not the Flyers, do I really care? Not really, right? As long as the Flyers, who have been very good to start the season. As long as the Flyers don't go on a run, I really don't care about the 76ers. I really don't care. Honestly, Jason Kelce is making me like the Philadelphia Eagles, because Jason Kelce is a man of the people. He said on his podcast last week that he loves Dippin' Dots, and now my wife is just, you know, in love with the man. But I want to see the Phillies win. You know, I did not want to see the Astros win. I'm tired of seeing the Astros in the World Series, winning the World Series, whatever, because they used to be in the Pirates division, and they always sucked. And now it makes me feel like, how did you turn it around? Like, how did you turn it around? They used to wear this color, the Astros.
But so much more fun, though. Like, I enjoyed that Astros team.
Because they sucked.
Even before then, the Jeff Bagwell, Greg Biggio era.
That's true. But I do want to see the Philadelphia Phillies win the World Series. That's who I'm rooting for, just simply because that atmosphere, crazy. Bryce Harper, I've always enjoyed watching Bryce Harper, and also they have a win song. Like, didn't everybody root for the St. Louis Blues because of Gloria in 2019? Yeah, I want to see the Philadelphia Phillies partying to that song for about 3 weeks after they win the World Series in a couple of weeks.
Well, the Pirates have one too. It's just 20 years old at this point, and we don't hear it enough.
No, not a win song that gets played. A win song that's adopted by the players, not picked by the management, like the Pirates.
Created by whatever marketing team they had. And that song, seriously, we're in 2023. That song might actually be 20 years old now.
It could possibly be. But let's get back to hockey, because a lot of people either tuned out or are screaming at their screens to say, we don't care about baseball. But we're also 30 minutes into a podcast, and it's our show, so we can do what we want. But the Penguins got a rocky start to the season, 2-3-0 against all non-playoff teams from last year. But like I mentioned earlier, Detroit Red Wings looking pretty dang good. Last I checked, they were 5-1 or 6-1 on the season. They're just absolutely going on a run to start the year. I want to ask you this, Horwat, because I mentioned you've been in the locker room. You were there yesterday. What's the vibe in the locker room, especially after practice yesterday?
You know, pretty normal, I would say. There's definitely a bit more of a stern, like, okay, we need to buckle in. We need to really get into things. I didn't really notice too much else. One thing I did pick up on is, you know, there are the normal players that are in and out of the locker room before media even shows up. That is Jeff Carter, Evgeny Malkin, sometimes Chris Letang. They are just in and out. They don't speak with the media that often. Sidney Crosby was one of those players yesterday, though. Normally, we're waiting for him. I told you the story about how all of the media was literally standing around waiting to talk to Sid while he was just with two equipment managers just pointing and staring at a skate blade that I thought had nothing wrong with it. I don't want to give too much else out. But that being said,
he had some skate issues on Saturday, so
maybe he's on to something. That being said, though, I think the mood is definitely just get the one and we can be back to normal. Get the one win, get the one good game under our belt, and things can go back to the liveliness. We can bring back the liveliness. I mean, there's still obviously some chipper faces. Not having Jason Zucker around kind of really doesn't dull the mood, but that was one thing about last season is that even whenever they weren't doing well, Jason Zucker's presence always kept things lively. And there's still plenty of guys like that this time around. It's just not as vocal or obvious, and a lot of guys are still getting used to each other. It is still October with a very new team.
Yeah,
I would say give it a little time and everything will be back to normal in the locker room. But also, there is a seriousness. They're all preaching patience. Yes, they all want to just say, hey, it's still early. We know what we can do. We all know we can be better. But we got to get there first. Let them get that one win under our belt. It was like it was like a goal from Riley Smith. Once they get the one, here comes the Avalanche.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone saw Mike Sullivan pretty angry and upset in St. Louis. Mike Sullivan's been pretty cheery this year. You know, he's cracking jokes before the start of the press conference with the media, and it's kind of fun. He didn't do that on Monday, but, again, I think it is just the sense of we know the position we're in. No one is happy with the position we're in, but we are confident we're going to get there. So I'd say the mood is just kind of, it's confidence. It is more, is a lot of focus, you know, I'd say that's kind of where it feels.
Yeah. It's interesting because I feel like the fan base is in the opposite corner because, you know, there was so much hope, so much that changed that, you know, everybody had this breath of fresh air coming into the season, and to start 2-3 against five teams that, again, didn't make the playoffs last year. What this year they become is a different story. It kind of took the air out of the balloon a little bit, and they need to replace it, right? Because the deflated feeling in the fan base, although not something you're seeing in the locker room from what it sounds like, is something that you're hoping the Pittsburgh Penguins, with a four-game homestand, get the perfect opportunity to do here. The first 2 weeks of the season, they played five games. There were a lot of extended breaks. There were a lot of multi-day breaks during those first 2 weeks of the season. Now they get to just come home, play hockey, and be home and just figure things out before they go on their first true road trip of the season. And maybe that road trip sparks something. Maybe that road trip brings them together in a certain way. I know the last couple of years, the Western Conference or the California road trip hasn't been too kind to the Pittsburgh Penguins, but that's coming up in about a week and a half. They have four games at home now. Every other day they play. So hopefully they can start to get their feet underneath them a little bit, start to get into a groove, because the NHL schedule has been very, very awkward to start the year. You have not a lot of games in the first 2 weeks, a week where you play so much, and then they're going to have a four-day break next week. They're not going to play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, and then they'll play Saturday against the Anaheim Ducks on the road. I believe that's right in my head, but that's the calendar going forward. But to be able to go and play at home every other day for the next week is going to be very important for this team. And you mentioned that they're preaching patience. They're still confident. They should still be confident. Mm-hmm. It's only been five games into the season. You can't lose that confidence that early, especially if you're a professional athlete. You can't lose your confidence on a whim like that. How different is it from last year? I know you mentioned Jason Zucker, but is there any other, you know, difference in the feel from this year to last year?
No, not yet. I think it's still very much a vibrant group, still very much just we're still learning each other, still feeling each other out, but they've had plenty of team bonding experiences. You know, they had that whole thing in Nova Scotia. They already had their Halloween party, so they're all kind of getting to know each other off the ice still and becoming good friends. I think it's just a matter of time before that confidence turns into success and things get livelier. I think there hasn't been anything wrong yet in comparative to last season. The weird thing about last year is that even during those stretches of losses or that stretch down the end of the season, there was definitely that sense of we need to be better, but it also never felt like, even toward the end, it never felt like there was a bad room. You know, so that's kind of the confidence there. And this season, yeah, it's not like it's a bad room. It's just still learning each other, and it'll all get there eventually, soon enough, too. Mm-hmm. They're all professional athletes. They know what it takes to win, and they're a hungry group. I think that's another part of it, so how hungry they all are. Ryan Graves told me that whenever he got here. He was able to feel it whenever he walked in, that losing isn't an option here. So I think they're all kind of taking that seriously, and these early losses aren't helping things, so they're just looking to find the wins and get back on track.
Yeah, and they're going to have to get back on track against some really good opponents. Tonight, they take on my Stanley Cup prediction in the Dallas Stars. I predicted them before the season to win the Stanley Cup, to win it all. They've looked pretty good to start. They're going to take on the Penguins tonight at 7:30, almost at 9:30. Not to that late of a start time yet, but 7:30 p.m. start for the Pittsburgh Penguins against the Dallas Stars is part of the first night this season where all 32 teams are playing. I just saw the tweet by Josh Getzoff. You got Frozen Frenzy, the NHL's version of Red Zone. I'm intrigued.
We'll see how
it
goes.
But also, it's what? It's Buchogross on ESPN.
Yeah.
So I'm a little less intrigued because ESPN has kind of crapped all over the product in the first couple of weeks of the season so far in their coverage. So we'll see what happens with that. But they have the Stars tonight, and then they have your Western Conference champion prediction, the Colorado Avalanche, coming to town on Thursday. They also look just as good as advertised. What do the Penguins have to do really quickly before the end of the show? Let's just talk about these two matchups. What do they got to do to get back on the right side of things against these two teams that are seemingly the best two teams they've played so far this season?
This taking a couple of wins here could be huge in confidence building and boosting the morale around just the momentum you're carrying. It's, you know, a couple of cup contenders, even without our predictions. I mean, everyone thinks the Dallas Stars is that sleeper pick for a legitimate Stanley Cup run. And the Avalanche look really damn good and hungry to get back to where they were. What the Penguins need to do, I don't know. That's the hard thing about a team stumbling around like the Penguins. Not that they're a bad group, but they're stumbling a little bit going up against monsters right now. You know, it's like, what do they have to do? I don't know, play better. It's hard to really come up with an answer.
Well,
they need to put things together at the right time. And, you know, if it is any consolation, one sneaky thing about the Penguins last year is that they somehow played well. I know they didn't end up winning a lot of these games, but played well against teams that were far superior than them. Mm-hmm. Played pretty well against the Bruins. The Carolina Hurricanes thing we could talk about until the dogs come home, but they were within one goal in each of those games. That's at least keeping up. And that was one of the points of last year. They can keep up. That's great. Now they got to get over the hump. Here's a couple of teams here where that if they can prove to keep up, they can push themselves over the hump. And if you want to really pick out one thing that the Penguins need to do better to beat these guys, play a whole second period.
Yeah.
Start there. Play a whole 60, obviously, but show up in that middle frame and don't pull yourself out of it, because that's an important period when it comes to momentum, because Malkin is going to probably have a good early first period again. You know, he did it in Detroit scoring the first minute, did it in St. Louis scoring in the last minute. Those are those momentum goals, right? So let's say Malkin is able to, or anyone on the team, is able to help produce in the first period again. Don't lose all that momentum in the second, because then you're playing from behind in the third. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of keeping consistent, play the full 60, obviously, but really put it together in the second period. So that's an important second period tonight, everybody.
Yeah, especially against these two teams. I think that's one of the biggest things. You cannot play from behind against a team like the Colorado Avalanche, against a team like the Dallas Stars. You need to be out in front of them and force them to push the issue, especially the Dallas Stars. They're so good defensively, and Jake Oettinger is so good, if that's indeed who they see tonight, that you cannot be playing from behind trying to catch up with this guy, because, you know, they've done it the past two games, and while they almost came back against the Detroit Red Wings, Ville Husso closed the door. I mean, he didn't close it quickly. He didn't slam the door on them, but, you know, he gently closed the door on the Pittsburgh Penguins last Wednesday evening. So you can't play from behind these guys. And the other thing we mentioned in the first segment, limit the turnovers. You turned the puck over way too many times against a team in St. Louis that's not going to be good this year. They're not going to be good. You turned the puck over too many times to them. You gave them too many opportunities, and they cashed in on a lot of them. If you do that to Mikko Rantanen, Cale Makar, I'm trying to think of Dallas Stars off the top of my head, but it kind of left me. Jason Robertson, Rupe Hintz. If you do it to these guys, they're going to score every time. I know the Blues scored a good bit of times, but these guys, if you're going to give them those opportunities time and time again, you might as well not even show up. So you need to make sure that you're playing smart with the puck. That's defense, that's forwards, that's goaltenders, because Tristan Jarry playing the puck this year has been a little bit scary, but you just need to play within yourself and make the smart decisions. Don't try to play hero puck. Don't try to be, you know, the guy every single time you're out there on the ice. Go out there and play as part of a team, because this is a team that constructed, if they play within themselves, they're going to play good hockey. So you can't overexert yourself. You can't try to make the fantastic play every single time you're on the ice. Don't turn the puck over and try not to play from behind, because if you play from behind, these teams are going to wipe you out. So those are my keys the next two nights, next three nights, against tonight, the Dallas Stars, against the Colorado Avalanche coming up on Thursday. It's going to be a fun watch. It's always fun to watch these teams. It's always fun to watch the Pittsburgh Penguins with the Stars that they have go up against the Stars on the other side. But we'll see how they're able to perform against these teams, because they haven't performed well throughout most of the season. Let's see if they can put together a solid 60 minutes, or at least, you know, solid second period, like you mentioned. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. We will be back on Thursday with a new episode, but make sure in the meantime to catch episodes of Iceberg to Go every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And of course, our Iceberg recaps after every single game, whether that be live on YouTube at Inside the Penguins directly after the game, or the next morning, anywhere you get your podcast from, and also still on the YouTube. We'll always tweet out on Tip of the Iceberg, whether it's coming that night or the following day. It all depends on scheduling. But that is it for this one. We'll see you guys next time.